desire y'all's prayers this morning. As always, I want to get the thought out that the Lord would have, that He would help us to do that. So my thought this morning is on religion versus faith. Now I know some people might think, you know, they're synonymous. They're pretty much the same thing. If some people say, well, what religion are you? People might respond, well, I'm of the Christian faith. And in one essence, you could look at the words that way. They are considered to be synonyms, but there are different definitions. And so I'd like to start off looking at two definitions for religion. One is a set of beliefs concerning the cause, nature, and purpose of the universe, especially when considered as the creation of superhuman agency or agencies, usually involving devotional and ritual observances and often containing a moral code governing the conduct of human affairs. The second one is, for religion, is a practice of religious beliefs, ritual observance of faith. And what struck me was the word ritual was used twice in these things. And so the definition for ritual is an established or prescribed procedure for a religious or other rite, an observance of set forms in public worship. And so looking at that, I also decided to look up the definitions of faith. And the one that I feel like actually describes the word that I'm trying to speak to here is faith, a strong or unshakable belief in something, especially without proof or evidence. And so the thing I would like us to consider today, do we have religion or do we have faith? You know, our world is full of turmoil right now. And not just in America. If you look across the world, there's political things going on across the world. This virus has everybody not knowing what to do across the world. Everywhere there's turmoil. Even in the religious realm, there's, you know, the restrictions being put out, and people that are getting into, you know, well, this is what I do. This is, if you take this away, you're taking away part of my religion. And it brought to mind the verse where Jesus was talking to the woman, the Samaritan woman, and she asked him a question about worshiping in Jerusalem or worshiping in the mountain. Because they had held that a particular mountain was the place to worship. And to me, that speaks to a bit of religion versus faith. Because their set procedure was you go to the mountain. The Jews were, you go to the temple. That was their religion. That was the rites that they followed. And I'm not saying that our religious practices are not without merit. I want to be very clear. I'm not saying that we shouldn't, you know, have anything like ordinance services and things like that. That's fine. But the question is, at what point do we lose sight of the faith we're supposed to have? Because Jesus told the woman, there's going to come a time when you're not going to worship at the temple or in this mountain. You're not going to worship in either place. At that point, the question becomes, are you tied to the religion or do you dig deeper into your faith? And so that's the viewpoint I would like to start with this morning. Now I'm going to start off in John chapter 9. Starting off in the first verse. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, "Neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. And he said to him, "Go, wash in the pool of Siloam," which is, by interpretation, sent. He went his way, therefore, and washed, and came seeing. Now, I find it interesting the question the disciples asked. They see this man, they see Jesus sees this man, he's blind, been blind from birth. The disciples, whether Jesus told them or not, we don't know, but apparently they knew this man had been blind from birth. And their question was an interesting one to me. Who sinned? This man or his parents, that he was born this way? The reason why it's interesting is, how could this man have sinned before he was born? Have you ever considered that part of the question? There was a teaching, if you will, something that had been taught, something that was kind of part of the religion. You all may not be familiar with the term transmigration of the soul, but it's the thing that the Hindus refer to when they talk about reincarnation. There's many religions that actually have that. And it seems that the Pharisees had a similar belief, that depending upon what a man had done, he might actually get, I guess, sent to another body for punishment. And so when the disciples asked Jesus this question, they were trying to figure out, did this man do something wrong and he's back being punished, or did his parents do it? Who's to blame? Now my question is, what is the edification of that question? How does that question enhance anybody's life? It's something that was taught. It was apparently part of their religion. It was something they considered important enough to ask the question when they saw Jesus looking at him. But Jesus' response is completely different. "This man was born this way so that I could do my work. He was born this way so that I could use him to help glorify the Father." Basically, Jesus kind of said, "You guys aren't looking at this situation right. You're asking the wrong questions. The question isn't who sinned. The question is, can he be healed?" You know, we all have sinned from birth through Adam. In a way, part of what Jesus is showing here, a lot of times the physical healing, when he was teaching, also went along with his command about what? Thy sins be forgiven. So here Jesus is once again kind of showing that if you look beyond the religion of who sinned to get this man in this point, the real question is, can you heal even sins that appear to be beyond the reach of us mere mortals? And I find it interesting now, as we continue reading here in this chapter, looking at how others also reacted to this. So continuing on in verse 8, "The neighbors therefore, and they which before had seen him, that he was blind, said, Is this not he that sat and begged? Some said, This is he. Others said, He is like him. But he said, I am he. Therefore said they unto them, How were thine eyes opened? He answered and said, A man that is called Jesus made clay, and anointed my eyes, and sent me, Go to the pool of Siloam, and wash. And I went and washed, and I received sight. Then said they unto him, Where is he? He said, I know not." Now what I find interesting here is, this to me is the reactions of regular folks, just the people in the community. You know, they see this guy walking along, and I'm going to use terminology from our day, he didn't have his little white cane out, tapping the road in front of him. And they're like, wait a minute, that's the blind man. That's the beggar we've all seen. And some of them, no, it's not. It's got to be somebody that just looks like him. That guy's been blind from birth. And he says, no, it's me. And they're like, well, how did you get your sight? Well, this man named Jesus. You know, he healed me. He took care of me. And they're, well, where is he? And we look at this, and it looks like the world is responding favorably. They're curious. They're asking questions. They're wanting to know where Jesus is. But what would they have done if Jesus had been standing there? If he had said, well, Jesus is right here. How would they have reacted? And I ask that because shortly after they asked, where is Jesus, they did something that showed where their hearts were truly at. So continuing on there in verse 13, they brought him to the Pharisees. They brought to the Pharisees him that aforetime was blind. And it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Then again, the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. He said unto them, he put clay upon my eyes and washed, and I do see. Therefore said some of the Pharisees, this man is not of God, because he keepeth not the Sabbath. Others said, how can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? And there was a division among them. So we see this common folk, they look down, they ask questions. Here's been a very miraculous thing. They looked for Jesus. And when they couldn't find Jesus, to me, they did what was had been in their hearts all of along. Instead of looking to glorify God, they were concerned because their religion had been violated. Somebody had been healed on the Sabbath. It didn't matter that a man who's never seen in his life, blind from birth, could see. What mattered to them was rule number X. Somebody's crossed it. We've got to take this man. We can't take Jesus because we don't know where he's at. But we can take this man to go answer for why somebody got healed on the Sabbath. They were focused strictly on their religion. Now, do you all remember the story of Jesus when he'd been in the temple? I think it's recorded in Matthew and Mark and maybe even in Luke. And he was walking through the temple and he saw the man with the withered hand. And the Pharisees asked Jesus a trick question. They asked Jesus, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath? And Jesus had told them what? He asked them a question. You have sheep, and your sheep go get in trouble on the Sabbath. What do? You go help your sheep out. Is a man worth more than a sheep? And he healed the man. But if we were to turn to that story, and we're not, we would find that they weren't happy. Even though Jesus healed the man, they weren't happy because their religion, one of the lines had been crossed. Something they held dear. This was vital to the way they believed. And Jesus crossed it. In Luke, there was a woman who was so deformed, bent over, she couldn't straighten up. She came into the synagogue on a Sunday. Jesus was teaching. Jesus saw her and healed her. And she was able to straighten up. She was made whole. It says the ruler of the synagogue, he kind of got upset. And he literally said, there's 6 days for man to work. And the seventh for rest. They need to come get healed on the 6 days for work. They should not come to get healed on the Sabbath. Now, looking back at all we have for what Jesus' mission was on earth, the healing of the souls, the healing of the bodies, do you think these people are getting their religion confused with their faith? They're getting the rules and the regulations contorted and out of line? You know, these regular folks, the ones that took the man to the Pharisees, they were just doing what they'd been taught. They were following the rules as they'd been taught. But that, to me, is also one of the shameful things. The rules. I've already mentioned there's nothing wrong with rules. But when the rules become so important that you walk past the purpose for why Christ is on earth, you might be letting your religion replace your faith. You're looking at the wrong thing to save you. You know, the healing was good. So why shouldn't healing be done on the Sabbath? It may surprise you all to find out, but the Jews taught that unless a man's life was in peril, he shouldn't seek medical help on the Sabbath. He should wait till the following day. They had taken the don't work so far from, I'm going to say, its original intent, that while they would help an animal out, they would not help a fellow human. And I do find it interesting, if you go read the story about the woman that actually had the bent back, when Jesus was talking about her, he asked them, you'll go get your ox out of a ditch if he falls in a ditch. How much more should this daughter of Abraham be helped? And I found it interesting, his choice of calling her a daughter of Abraham. Who was Abraham? Father of faith, right? The woman had come to the temple. Why? We don't know the intent of her heart. You know, I can't see that. But Jesus, when he saw her, healed her. And I think the woman went to the temple in faith because she was expecting someday the Lord to touch her. I don't know if she thought he would literally physically touch her like he did that day. That had to be a happy day for her. You know, the master putting his hand out, being cured, raising up, straightening out. Well, let's continue reading now in verse 17. Now, this is the Pharisees. They say unto the blind man again, what sayest thou of him that he hath opened thine eyes? He said, he is a prophet. But the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind received his sight until they called the parents of him that had received his sight. And they asked them, saying, is this your son who ye say was born blind? How then doth he now see? His parents answered them and said, we know that this is our son and that he was born blind. But by what means he now seeth, we know not. Or who hath opened his eyes, we know not. He is of age. Ask him, for he shall speak of himself. And then dropping on down to verse 24. Then again called they the man that was blind and said unto him, give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner. He answered and said, whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. Then said they to him again, What did he to thee? How opened he thine eyes? He answered them, I have told you already, and ye did not hear. Wherefore would ye hear it again? Will ye also be his disciples? Now look at the reaction here of the Pharisees. Now this is, at this time, the learned religious leaders of the land. These are the people that if you had a question, you would go to for determination of what's the right way to interpret the law. These were the people that in their, I guess, rights to become a Pharisee, from what I've read, you would have had to have practiced living as a Pharisee for 2 to 3 years before they would actually grant you, I guess, the right to be called a Pharisee. They were really focused on digging into the Word, digging into the Scripture, understanding the religion. But they didn't necessarily understand what that religion pointed to. They didn't believe. I mean, here's this man standing here. He can see. Everybody's telling them this is the man that was blind from birth. And it can't be. Go get his parents. I mean, absolute unbelief. Unbelief is the absolute opposite of faith. So he obviously can see, so he can't be the man born blind from birth. That's just impossible. So they go get the parents. The parents, yes, this is our son. Well, how can he see? We don't know. We weren't there. He's a grown adult. Ask him. So they ask him again, and I love his response. You want to hear it again? Why? I've told you before, and you don't believe it. If I tell you again, will you believe it? Will you become his disciple? He's a he's obviously picking up on the fact that the questioning is not around the glory that should be going to God. The questioning is around who violated the rule. Who crossed the line that we've set? You know, you can't find in the Old Testament anywhere where it says a man cannot be healed on the Sabbath. You can find where you're not supposed to make fires and cook food and things like that, what I would call actual work. You can find that in the Old Testament where that's not to be done. But this thing about being healed was an addition. It was something that had been added on. Now, sometimes things are added on as safety factors. And there's nothing, I don't think there's anything wrong with those, but we have to understand what is it that's been added on. One of the things that impressed me in a way was they tried to tell him, well, give God the praise, but leave Jesus out of it. Because they did. They asked him point blank, we know this man, Jesus, must be a sinner. Why? He violated our religion. Even though there was a tenet of Jewish faith that says pretty much if you don't help a man and he dies, you're in the wrong. And so Jesus is healing people, which would be in line with that part of the faith, but because their rules, their set of prescribed behaviors had been crossed, this man must be a sinner. And I love the man's response, sinner or not, I can see. That's enough for me. I have vision I hadn't had before. I could walk around without, like I said, using a modern, without my little cane tapping along. I don't know about the rest of you all, but I haven't heard of anybody else ever being saved from being blind from birth. So if you want to call him a sinner, you go right ahead. But to me, this man's a prophet. This man did something bigger than my religion. This man did something that healed me. You know, sometimes we react to things because we see them as dangerous to us personally. The Pharisees, their reaction to Jesus was he was a danger to them. He was a danger to them politically. Because if he was the Messiah, and they'd kind of got in bed a little bit with the Roman government, then they were going to be on outs. They weren't going to have that close relationship with the politicians they had. And also, if he was the Messiah and he's against them, which he seemed to be just about every time he taught, he was also going to impact their social standing, their religious standing, their prestige in their world was going to go away. Because wait a minute, what do you mean everything we've been teaching you is wrong? We've been telling the people to tithe 10% of everything, including their herb gardens and every last little thing. Yes, you have. But have you been taking care of the weightier matters? Have you been looking out after man's souls? So let's go on down to verse 28 here. Then they reviled him, the Pharisees reviling the man that was healed, and said, thou art his disciple, but we are Moses' disciples. We know that God spake unto Moses. As for this fellow, we know not from whence he is. The man answered and said unto them, why, herein is a marvelous thing that ye know not from whence he is, and yet he hath opened mine eyes. Now, we know that God heareth not sinners. But if any man be a worshipper of God and doeth not his will, him he heareth. And doeth his will, him he heareth. Since the world began, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind? If this man were not of God, he could do nothing. Now, I'm going to call this the final stance of the two parties as they kind of argued back and forth. We see here that this discussion, the two parties are not getting closer together. They're actually moving further and further apart. And it finally ends with the Pharisees pretty much just telling this man, you know, Jesus has to be a sinner. We follow Moses. We follow the teachings of the law. Moses was who? Was he a prophet? Yeah. Was he the Messiah? No. Was he a prophet that pointed to the Messiah? Yes. But now that the Messiah has come, they were holding on to Moses and the old law. Sometimes God wants us to realize that, you know what? The old law was a school teacher to bring you to Christ. How many of us that have graduated school today go through the same daily routines we did when we were in school? I mean, you go to school, right? You go to different classrooms, you sit under different teachers, you learn different subjects, you get homework, you go home, you do your homework, you come back the next day, you turn it in, you get graded. We're all still doing that, right? Even though we graduated school, we're still following that path. No, we graduated. What happens once you graduate? Well, that knowledge you were supposed to have learned, you now have to start applying it in scenarios beyond what you were taught in the classrooms. That math you learned, you can apply it in different ways. English, you can start learning to write different things. Do we consider that spiritually? That, you know, the religion that we're supposed to be following is actually to help us grow. It shouldn't be a static set of rules that we just keep doing and repeating and keep doing and repeating. There's supposed to be more to it. There's supposed to be a growth. And then look there in verse 34. This is where the Pharisees take their final stand, if you will. They answered and said unto him, "Thou wast altogether born in sins, and dost thou teach us?" And they cast him out. And I find this interesting because we see here, remember that question the disciples asked? Who sinned, this man or his parents? The Pharisees here are speaking back to that same belief. And they've made their decision. This man must have been born in sin. He did something bad. He was born this way. He must have done something bad potentially in another life. It's his fault. He's believing a sinner over us who are believing Moses. This sinner healed somebody on a Sabbath. That's wrong. Was it wrong to heal on the Sabbath? Well, let's look now at verses 35 through 38. This is Jesus' response. Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and when he had found him, he said unto him, "Dost thou believe on the Son of God?" He answered and said, "Who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him?" And Jesus said unto him, "Thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee." And he said, "Lord, I believe," and he worshiped him. Now, one of the things that I love about God is he's not tied up in religion. Oh, he wants you to obey. Don't think that you can get away with ignoring the parts of the old law that's still out there. Thou shalt not kill, it's still there. He still doesn't want you to take God's name in vain. Those are still things that are out there. But if you can see where you're supposed to grow by faith, this man's like, "I have been healed. I have been healed. It was on the Sabbath, but I've been healed. I've been set free. That wasn't work. It's a miracle. It's wonderful." And even after he got kicked out of the temple, Jesus goes doing what? Looking for that lost lamb. All right, he's been kicked out. He's feeling the brunt of what it means to truly believe. Now let me go make sure I get him into the fold. Let me bring him safely in, gather him in. Let me show him what he needs. Now continuing in on verse 39, there's some other interesting things here. It says, "And Jesus said, For judgment I am come into this world, that they which see not might see, and that they which see might be made blind. And some of the Pharisees which were with him heard these things, and said unto him, Are we blind also? And Jesus said unto them, If ye were blind, ye should have no sin. But now ye say, We see, therefore your sin remaineth." Now what I find interesting in all of this, Some of the Pharisees followed this young man when he left the temple. You know, there had been a division in the Pharisees. There were some of the Pharisees that were definitely hardcore. They crossed the, he worked on the Sabbath, and no, that's a sin. You can't, I don't care how good you think it is, it's a sin. We can't go there. But there were some of the Pharisees that were like, you know what? That man was blind from birth. And he was healed. And that is a big deal. God has to be connected here somehow. And so they were following him. And when they heard Jesus make the statement, "For judgment am I come into this world, that they which see not might see, and they which might see might be made blind," they asked that question. Are we blind also? Now, I find that to be a very careful question. And one that, if you think about it, is not an easy question to maybe ask. Because they're starting to realize we're not seeing something. We've been seeing religion. We've been seeing the rules. But we just saw a man healed as well. Are we seeing what we should be, or are we blind? Now Jesus responds, and I'm not going to read this in the next chapter, in the 10th chapter, but he responds in the 10th chapter talking about the shepherd. And how the sheep know the shepherd's voice. He also talks about the shepherd versus the hireling. And how a hireling is not really, doesn't really care about the sheep. You get a big enough animal coming in and attacking that herd, the shepherd that's just a hireling, he's going to town. He's going to go to town and let the person know, hey, look, there was a great big lion or bear that came out and it got quite a few of your sheep. I'm sorry. The rest of them, where that rest of, well, I think they're out there somewhere, but that thing looked like it wanted to eat me and I came back to town. It wasn't safe out there. You know, the Pharisees had a tradition. They considered themselves to be the gatekeepers of heaven. Did you realize that? That was one of the things that they thought. Matthew chapter 23, verse 13 says, "But woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye shut up the kingdom of heaven against men. For ye neither go in yourselves, neither suffer ye them that are entering to go in." So the Pharisees felt that in their way of understanding their religion, their job, the way they viewed it, was to make sure that nobody got through that gate to heaven that wasn't pure. That was what they saw their role as. You notice how Jesus says, "But you're not even going in yourself. You're so concerned about who might get to heaven that doesn't measure up to your rules that you're not even looking to see if you could get through that gate. You're not even checking to see if you qualify yourselves. You have got a system of rules, a system of things that you've set down that you say, if we meet this, I can get into heaven." Isn't there a verse that says, "Without faith, it is impossible to please him"? Do you realize that there is nothing wrong with having a system of worship, with us having our services in an order of service? There's nothing wrong with that. But we have to look beyond just the mechanics of our religion. So we came in the building this morning. How many came here because this is just what you do on a Sunday morning? Now, I don't want anybody to necessarily raise your hand. But did you just get up this morning and decide to come to church because it's the right thing to do, but other than that, really didn't feel any other way? Did you get up and come to church because it's the social thing to do and you don't want to be the one not seen at church? Or did you come up to the church because it's Sunday and you wanted to come meet with people to worship the Lord, to sing praises to the Lord, to bring your requests and your prayers and make them known before the Lord, to have other people join you in prayer before the God of heaven, to actually come here with faith, with a belief, even though you can't see God physically, that when I walk out of here, I will be ready for the new week. I will have got my prayers up to heaven. I will have help headed my way for the things I need. You realize it's not just about religion. Yes, religion's useful. I do want to read in John chapter 10, verses 19 through 21. There was a division, therefore, again, among the Jews for these sayings. And many of them said, "He hath the devil and is mad. Why hear ye him?" Others said, "These are not the words of him that hath the devil. Can a devil open the eyes of the blind?" I would like to challenge all of us today. Take a good close look at the Pharisees that followed the young man out of the temple. And consider the question that they put to the Lord. Are we blind also? I find it to be a very intriguing question because it's one that implies we have a suspicion that I might need to see better. I might need to see more clearly. And I want that answer. I would challenge all of us today not to give up our religion, because I would still like to think that at the end of the day, we're all Christians. But to look beyond it and make sure we're walking in the true faith. I find it interesting, one of Christ's questions was, will there be faith when I come? He didn't ask, will there be people that state they believe in my name? But will there be faith? Will there be that belief that is truly, truly tied to me? Y'all pray for me.